Hey, Vineyard Church, North Phoenix, how are you guys doing today? You doing good? Man, it's so great to see you. Thank you for being here today. If you're a guest or a visitor, maybe you've been bribed to come and join us today. Let me introduce myself. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. Now, I have to quickly ask a few questions because you can probably tell by now that I don't have a speech impediment. I'm from another country. So I got to experience Thanksgiving from a whole different lens. And there are some very foreign, alien dishes that I'm just not used to. And I need to know what your favorite Thanksgiving sides are. So real quick, from a show of hands, if your favorite side is mac and cheese, can I see if that's your jam, mac and cheese? See, I expected a better result. What about that green bean casserole stuff? Do we like that? There are demons in this church. What is that, like, soupy green, I don't know. What about the Hawaiian rolls? How about Hawaiian rolls? There you go, carbs. You love carbs. I have one more question. Who brought up politics on purpose to save money on Christmas presents? Anyone? Just me? Okay, see? You learn something for next year. You know, we're going to learn from God's Word, the Bible, today. So if you have a Bible with you, maybe you have it on an app, on your watch, or your phone, or your tablet, or your laptop, or whatever you brought today with you, please turn to Isaiah 55, verse 1. That is the first passage that we're going to look at today. And then before we get into the message, I just want to take a moment to thank those of you who give faithfully to God through the Vineyard. Man, that simple act of obedience allows us to do all ministry here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix. You know, for example, we just had our Thanksgiving food basket giveaway a few days ago, and we were able to give out over, it was like 1,300 full Thanksgiving turkey meals to people in need in our community. And you know, that took like 700 volunteers. Those are the things that we're sowing into when we give to God through the church. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's really making a difference, not only in our church community, but actually all over the world. So if our ushers could please come forward, and then let's pray together that God would speak to us today through his word, and also that he would bless the offering today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can gather here today to worship you, Lord. Would you open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, Holy Spirit? And as we give a portion of our income back to you in obedience to your word, Father, would you use that money to take care of those most in need in our community, Lord? Would you use it to bless our community, our church, our city, and even ministries all around the world, Father? And then, Lord, would you bless us as the giver, just as you promised in the Bible? We do this because we trust you, Lord, and we know that you are faithful. And it's in your powerful name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. All right. Imagine this with me real quick. It's the weekend after Thanksgiving, right? There's something in the air this time of year that does not happen any other season. People slow down a little bit. They get reflective. They think about life, family, purpose. And for a lot of us, there's a quiet ache underneath everything going on. See, Christmas has a way of stirring something deep in the human heart. And because of that, this season gives us a unique window. It's almost like God opens a door a little wider. You know, people who normally would never think about faith, they suddenly feel curious about Jesus. Now, they might not know what they believe, but they are open to it in a way that they are not in June or September. You know, we see this every year here at our church. God has used our Christmas Eve services to bring hundreds of people into his family over the years. And that is not an exaggeration. It's part of the story of our church. It's part of how God has chosen to move through VC. Christmas Eve has always been one of those moments where heaven touches earth in an unmistakable way. And if you are here last year or a previous Christmas Eve service, you remember what it looked like. You remember what it felt like during the altar call. The presence of God was thick. People were weeping. People were surrendering their lives to Jesus. Entire families came forward together. See, these were the moments where you could feel the weight of eternity because it was a holy moment. Now, here is the truth. Moments like that do not happen in isolation. They don't come out of nowhere. They're connected to invitations. See, someone invited those people. Someone prayed for them. Someone stepped out of their comfort zone and said, "Hey, I would love for you to join me at church for Christmas Eve. I would love to save you a seat. I'll sit next to you." See, every salvation story is also an invitation story. Let me give you a picture of what this season is like. Imagine a big old wooden door. And for most of the year, it's cracked open just a little bit. People are busy, they're distracted, they're focused on everything but God. But at Christmas, that door swings open wider because there is a softness, a curiosity, a spiritual hunger. Christmas amplifies the whisper of God. You know, the great author C.S. Lewis once said that God whispers to us in our pleasures and shouts in our pain. And I think Christmas is somewhere in between. It's like God raises his voice a little and people can hear him in a way that they normally cannot. Which brings us to the heart of today's message, because I want to talk about the power of an invitation. God is opening the door. People are already closer to saying yes to Jesus than you think. And God wants to use ordinary people, people like you, people like me, to help someone take a step toward Jesus. So if you have a bulletin today, there's a little insert in it. Can you show me it real quick? I'm going to ask you at the end of our service to write down some names in this insert. People that you feel like God is asking you to invite to Christmas Eve services. People you love, people you care about, people whose eternity matters to you. And then I want you to keep this card as a physical reminder. Put it in your Bible, put it on your dashboard, maybe put it by your bed, and let it remind you to pray for them, and let it remind you to invite. But we're going to get to that in a minute. See, I believe that God is preparing hearts right now, and I believe he wants to use you. Not someone more spiritual, not someone more courageous, you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk us through why invitation matters. It matters so much to the heart of God. How we can overcome some of the fears that are associated and often hold us back. And then how we can step into this season with a fresh sense of purpose. So let's begin where the story starts, and that's the heart of God. If we want to understand why invitation matters so much, we have to begin with the heart of God, because long before any of us ever thought inviting people to church, God was already inviting people to himself. Invitation is not a 20th century growth church strategy. It's woven into the story of Scripture from the very beginning. There is a great storyline on invitation in Scripture. You can start all the way back in Genesis, that God calls Abraham and says, "I will bless you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed." See, that is an invitation. God is saying, "Come be a part of what I'm doing. Come join my mission of blessing the world." And then you move forward a little bit to Isaiah 55, verse 1. And God says, "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free." That is one of the most beautiful invitations in the Bible. See, God is saying, if you are hungry for meaning, if you are searching for hope, if you are spiritually dry, come to me. It's free. And then we get to Jesus in Luke 14. He tells this story about a great banquet, a huge feast. And the master of the feast has sent out invitations, and the original recipients They don't respond. And we're going to pick this up in Luke 14, verse 21. And the master says to his servants, okay, so go quickly into the streets and all the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. And then after the servant had done this, he reported back. And there was still room for more. So his master said, well, go out to the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full. Go everywhere, invite everyone, fill my house. Jesus is showing us the heart of God, and God wants his house full. Amen. Then there is John 1, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who had heard what John the Baptist said and then followed Jesus. So Andrew went to his brother Simon and told him, hey, we found the Messiah, which means Christ. And then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. I mean, what a sweet moment. Andrew meets Jesus, and then the very first thing he does is he goes and finds his brother Peter and brings him to Jesus. Andrew did not preach a sermon. He didn't quote five chapters that he'd memorized the day before. He simply said, come and see. God is remaking the world through Jesus, and he's inviting people to join his new creation family. God is not only saving individuals, he's building a family where everything that's broken is going to be made new. An invitation is how people step into that family. And then we learn from Jesus, let it be in your outline. Jesus was the ultimate inviter. Think of the way that Jesus interacted with people. Over and over again, you see Jesus is offering invitations. You know, Matthew is sitting in a tax booth, living a life no one respects. Jesus walks up to him, and we read this in Matthew 9:9. He says, follow me and be my disciple. So Matthew got up and followed him. Follow me, that's it. Two words that changed Matthew's life. And then in Matthew 11, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burden, and I will give you rest. He's echoing Isaiah 55 there, right? He's extending an invitation for anyone who's tired of trying to carry life on their own. Is that you? And then in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we learn that the Spirit and the bride say, come. Heaven's final invitation. God finishes his story the same way he started it, with an open invitation. Invitation is not something God does. It's a part of who he is. And we know, let us see, that God partners with ordinary people. Now here is where it gets kind of wild. See, God is God, and God could reveal himself however he wants. You know, he could write a message in the sky. He could send an angel to every single doorstep. But instead, he chooses to partner with people. People like you, people like me. Romans 10 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And then listen closely. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Tell me, how will your brother, your sister, your coworker, your client, your friend, whatever, know unless someone, you, tells them? And how will anyone, like you, tell them unless you are sent? See, God has chosen to spread the message of Jesus through the voices and invitations of ordinary believers like you and like me. Not experts, not professionals, just ordinary people. And in a very real way, Christmas Eve services are a modern echo of that great banquet story that Jesus told. God is the one preparing the story. God is the one drawing hearts. God is the one who will save people, and he invites us to partner with him by saying, come and see. Every year we watch God fill his house, not because people wander in randomly, but because someone invited them. Someone cared enough to reach out. Someone saw Christmas as an opportunity and said yes to the mission of God. When you invite someone to church, you are participating in the heart of God. You are stepping into the story that he has been writing since the beginning of time. My friends, this is not about filling a service. This is about filling heaven, amen? So before we talk about, you know, some practical steps that we can use to invite someone, I want to recognize and address some of the fears and hesitations that we, you know, too often allow to get in the way of us partnering with God. And here's the good news. You are not alone. Every single one of us feels these fears at some point. You know, even the most outgoing people have moments where they freeze. Even those who seem extremely bold will tell you, you know, I still get nervous. These fears are normal, but let me tell you, they're not immovable. So let us look at a few of the big ones. So the first one is, I do not want to be awkward. I do not want to be awkward. You ever feel that? This might be the biggest fear of all. None of us wants to come across as pushy. None of us wants to make things weird with family members or coworkers. You know, none of us wants to invite someone and have them look right back at us and say, what are you doing? But here's what I want you all to see. Our fear of awkwardness is usually far bigger in our heads than it is in reality. C.S. Lewis said, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at its testing point. What does that mean? It means invitation is one of those testing points. It's where kindness meets courage. Look at this story from the book of Acts. There's this prayer they're praying. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then after this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. We can learn here that boldness is something that the Holy Spirit gives. The early believers who were experiencing intense persecution prayed for boldness, not a personality transplant. God gives us courage in the moment. And sometimes the most loving thing that you can do for someone is to push past the awkwardness and offer an invitation that could change their life. Now, fear number two. I do not want to be rejected. This is another big one. What if they say no? What if they think I'm weird? What if they already do? What if this damages the relationship? What if this makes things uncomfortable? Well, let me encourage you. Jesus himself was rejected many times. Paul was rejected. Every messenger of God in Scripture experienced rejection, but never stopped them. Why is that? Because they understood something important. See, you are responsible for your faithfulness. You are not responsible for the outcome. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 that one plants, another waters, but God brings the increase. In other words, your invitation is a seed. It might sprout later. It might sprout in a different season, but it's not wasted. We need to practice non-attachment to outcomes, meaning we do not base our obedience on the result. We base our obedience on trust in God. Think of it like this. You are a mail carrier. Your job is to deliver the mail. You are not responsible for whether the recipient opens the envelope or not. God will handle that part. Fear number three. I do not feel spiritually qualified. I do not feel spiritually qualified. This one is more common than we think. Maybe you feel like your faith is not strong enough. Maybe you feel like you're still working through your own issues. Maybe you feel that you're not the kind of person God would use to lead someone to Jesus. Well, let me remind you of the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well. She'd been following Jesus for about 10 minutes and immediately goes back to her town and tells everyone, "Come and see the man who told me everything I ever did." And the Bible says the whole town came to meet Jesus. She had no training, no experience. She just had one story and an invitation. Listen carefully. God does not choose the qualified. He qualifies those that he chooses. If God can use a fisherman, tax collectors, brand new believers, he can use you. It's like a cracked clay cup overflowing with water. That's what God does. He pours his strength through our weakness. And then fear number four, I don't know what to say. This is the fear that makes us freeze. You know, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I can't explain everything? What if they ask a question and I don't know the answer? Let me free you from that right now. You do not need a sermon. You need a sentence. Now think about those invitations that we've learned about in Scripture already. Come and see. Follow me. We have found him. Short and simple. Jesus used simple invitations. The disciples used simple invitations. So we can too. Let me give you three easy lines that you can use this season. Hey, I would love to sit with you on Christmas Eve. I will save you a seat. God is doing something at our church, and I think you'd really feel at home. You don't need perfect words. Now, when you look at these fears, yes, they are real. But here's the beautiful truth. Every fear that we feel is met by a promise of God. Afraid of awkwardness, God gives boldness. Afraid of rejection, God handles the results. Afraid you're not qualified, God uses ordinary people. Afraid of saying the wrong thing, God uses simple invitations. You are more ready than you think. And the people around you, they're more open than you think. Now let's talk about how we can actually step into this season and invite people well. You know, we've looked at God's heart for invitation. We've dealt honestly with our own fears. And now I want to get very practical, because sometimes we hear a message like this and we think, man, I want to do this, but I don't really know where to start. What does an actual invitation look like in real life? What does it look like in my week or in my relational circles? So let me walk you through some very simple steps that every single one of us can take. Step number one, very important. Pray before you invite. Listen, everything fruitful begins with prayer. Not pressure, not guilt, not bribery, sometimes bribery. Prayer. In Matthew 9, Jesus says, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few, so do what? So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." See, that's where invitation starts. You pray and you listen. I want you to imagine for a moment this week, maybe in the morning or before bed, saying something like, God, who are you already working on? Who is already open? Who are you preparing? Who do you want me to invite? You're not praying for an opportunity. The opportunity is already there. You're praying for awareness. Now, step two, use relational bridges already in your life. Sometimes we make invitation like super complicated. We feel like we need to go on a hunt for people, find the biggest crowd, and God's gonna like shoot a spotlight down from heaven, and that's the person that you're supposed to invite. But listen, God has already placed people in your life. Family, coworkers, neighbors, gym friends, classmates, parents on the sideline of your kids' activities, you know, the people who live across the street, people that you see literally every day. Evangelism begins by listening. Simply pay attention to what people around you are talking about. You'll hear cues. You'll hear longing. You'll hear pain. You'll hear curiosity. Those are open doors. You know, this weekend, right after Thanksgiving, many of us have been with family who might be more open right now than they have been in a long time. Some of you have even had conversations this very week where you thought, I should invite them to church, but you hesitated. That's okay. You still have time. Text them right now. I don't care. God has already put people in your path. You just need to look up. Now, step number three, use simple invitation tools. One of the easiest ways to make an invitation more natural is to have something physical in your hand. That's why we have our Christmas Eve invite cards. We have them right now today on these tables around the auditorium, in the tunnels, in this back wall right here. They're in the basket. You can grab one or two or three on your way out today. And then we also have this card. See how I physically gave you something? So that you can write down someone that God is putting on your heart. You can use social media. Make a post. Share a story. Send a DM that says, hey, our Christmas Eve services are coming up. I would love for you to come with me. I'll save you a seat. And remember the rule of the second ask. A lot of people say no the first time, but they say yes the second time. Don't be a nag. But many invitations take two touches. And then step number four, tell people why Christmas Eve matters. When you invite someone, you're not inviting them to an event. You're inviting them to a moment when heaven meets earth. Tell them what Christmas Eve is like at our church. Tell them that every year God moves in powerful ways. You've seen it with your own eyes. Tell them that our church sees hundreds of people come to faith through our Christmas Eve services. There is something that God does in this room that is unique. Tell them there will be a clear and simple, hope-filled message about Jesus. Tell them that you're going to sit with them. Tell them that they will be welcome as soon as they come on our campus. This is not hype. This is expectation. God has done it before, and he's going to do it again. Amen? And then step number five, the gift of presence. Not presence, presence. This might be the most important part of the invitation. You're not inviting someone to come and do something alone. You're inviting them into a relationship. You're going to offer to sit with them or meet them in the lobby. Offer to walk in together. Offer to pick them up. Let them know that you are with them. They're not doing this alone. Listen, most people are not intimidated by Jesus. A recent study by the Barna Group from 2022, only a couple years ago, reported that over 70% of Americans had a positive view of Jesus already. They're not intimidated by Jesus. They're intimidated by church. And your presence coming with them lowers that barrier, eases those fears, eases their anxiety. No one's going to remember what the parking lot was like, but they are going to remember who walked in with them. And then the final step, letter F, the power of the follow-up. If someone says yes and comes with you, your invitation is not over. Your invitation is actually beginning. Take them to dinner afterwards. Ask them about the experience. Celebrate them for coming. Now, if they respond to Jesus, help them take their next step. Show them growth track. Walk with them in their spiritual journey. In other words, be their friend. Invitation is the front door of discipleship. It's the moment where someone takes their first step towards Jesus, and you get to be a part of that story. Now, as we come to sort of the end of this message, I want us all to take a breath and let's just sit with everything that we've walked through. Because now we come to the part that really matters. Because teaching alone does not change lives. Action does. Faith expressed in obedience does. And in just a moment, I want you to take that reminder card. It's nothing fancy or complicated. It's just a simple reminder. And we're going to sit and we're going to listen to God. And then we're going to write some names on it that God has put on our hearts. People that you love, that you've been thinking about, that you know need Jesus. Maybe a family member, maybe a coworker, a neighbor, a friend you've drifted from. Maybe it's someone that you just saw a couple days ago at Thanksgiving dinner. Or maybe it's someone that you see every week that you never imagined. Take your time with it. Let the Holy Spirit bring the right people to mind. And I want to give you permission to just sit in this moment. Let it be holy. So whatever you need to do right now to block out distractions, you might want to bow your head, you might want to close your eyes. There's no like magic trick to this. We're just going to spend a few minutes in prayer. Maybe whisper something or say it in your head. God can read your thoughts. Lord, give me courage. Lord, open their hearts. Lord, give me your words. It doesn't have to be something long, just real and honest. So let's take a moment to hear from the Lord. And if the name of someone pops into your head, I believe that's God. Write that down on that bulletin insert. Lord, we ask you for what you gave the early church. We ask for boldness. We ask for courage that is gentle and loving but confident. We ask you to soften the hearts of the people whose names are being written on these cards. Would you prepare them, Lord? Would you draw them to yourself? Speak to them even now. Father, would you let our Christmas Eve services be a moment where heaven breaks into their life? And Lord, we pray that you would send us out as workers into your harvest. Would you use our invitations in ways we could never imagine? Would you let salvations multiply? Let prodigals come home, God. Let people who have been far from you walk through the doors of our church and encounter the presence of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you wrote a name or a couple names on this reminder card, would you lift it up real quick so I can see? Just wave it at me. Keep it up for a second. Church family, look around the room. Each card represents people that God deeply loves. And you never know which invitation will change their eternity. See, that's why we're doing this today. Christmas Eve is coming in just a few weeks. The door of openness is already swinging wide. People are hungry for hope. And God has entrusted us with the message of Jesus. So here's my challenge to you. Over the next few weeks, pray for those people by name. Look for the moment. Pay attention to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And when the opportunity comes, step out, invite them, offer to sit with them, be a part of their story with Jesus. And then, church family, let us believe God for what he is going to do this Christmas Eve. Let us believe for salvation, for miracles. Let us believe for hundreds of people stepping into the family of God again this year. And imagine this. One day in heaven, you might see someone who walks up to you and says, I'm here because you invited me. I'm here because you cared enough to ask. God used you. You never know what God will do through a simple invitation. Now we're going to bring the service to a close. So if you're able, would you join me in standing? And could our ministry team please come forward? You know, here at the Vineyard, we love to pray for people. There may be something that you want to receive prayer for that's related to the message or completely unrelated. You might want to receive healing, physical, relational. You may need help with a job or finances. Whatever it is, one of the best things that you can do is share that need with another brother or sister in Christ and have them pray for you. So I'm going to pray a blessing over all of us, and then we can go on with our days. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my friends here today, Lord. God, would you continue to speak to us through the next few weeks? Give us boldness and courage, God. And most of all, would you bless us, Lord? I thank you for your faithfulness, for your provision. Would you go before each one of us today? And Jesus, it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, it's so great to see you. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to continue next week with our series in the book of Revelation. If you're a guest, check out our guest welcome. We'll see you next week.